He's so patient with us. And he's so desiring us to walk in fullness with him. And he's not in a hurry. And yeah, so Jesus, lead us this morning. Thank you. Help me to find exactly what you want me to say. And thank you for what you're already doing. But God, more than anything, Holy Spirit, give us ears to hear what you are saying to our hearts. Give us eyes that would see what you are doing and you want us to put our hands to do with you. Give us minds that would understand, if nothing else, just to be obedient to you. And bodies that would say, I trust you and I will follow you. Make your word come alive this morning. Amen. Well, since I got the time, we're not going to take it all this morning, which is great, because there is potatoes afterwards, and that is just ringing in my ears, because, yeah, I like Colby, thank you, wherever you are. He's probably making potatoes. Open your Bible to Mark chapter 9. We're going to start this a little differently. This is our Connect Group Sunday, and we are going to take time right after service to have potatoes and also to go to various spots to connect with some of these groups. Maybe, hear what they're about. Maybe sign up, or maybe just get a passion for, hey, you know what? Maybe I should be involved in one of these or start one. But it's a process. But let me just start with this. This isn't in the notes at all. So, Heather, sorry. It's more seasonal than destinational. So we're definitely going to be a little seasonal. So we'll just pause right there and hold that in up on the screen for a while. In Mark chapter 9, verse 2, there's a story that I absolutely love. It was a transformational story in my relationship with Jesus when I was in Bible college, because it changed the way I was living my relationship with God. Because a lot of it was, you know, if you do the right thing, things will go the way God wants it to. If you put in the effort, if you check all the boxes, if you're a good boy, you'll get, you know, good results. And the question kept coming to mind, if I could talk to God face to face, if I could have a face to face encounter with Jesus, what would I say? And this story here in the Gospel of Mark changed that whole entire idea. And it starts like this in verse 2 of chapter 9. And we don't have this on the screen, so you'll have to find it yourself. But I am reading this from New Living Translation. So 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them onto a high mountain alone. And as the men watched, Jesus appeared and was transformed, and his clothes became dazzling white, far whiter than any earthly bleach could ever make them. Then Elijah and Moses appeared and began talking with Jesus. Peter exclaimed, Rabbi, it's wonderful for us to be here. Let's make 3 shelters as memorials, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. I love verse 6. He said this because he didn't really know what else to say, for they were all terrified. And right there, I'm like, I identify with Peter. Just verbal diarrhea at the worst point. You know, this is great. Blah, 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 blah. But verse 7, God is so gracious. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my dearly loved son. Listen to him. Listen to him. Just listen to Jesus. If I was face-to-face encounter with Jesus, what would I ask him? Shut up. I would shut up, hopefully, and listen. He's got a whole lot more to say to me than I have to say to him. I have tons of questions. But he has so much. I benefit from hearing him. God has no problem communicating. He can write on walls with his finger. He can talk through donkeys. He can speak through burning bushes. He can loud booming voice from a mountaintop. God's issue in communication is not him. It's us. And we need him to open our ears spiritually to hear from him. My desire here this morning is not to present a discipleship model or plan for the church that here's more boxes you can check, but to say, what is God saying to you? What is the Holy Spirit speaking into in your life? There's a whole lot of different stuff going on in all of our lives. Are we listening to him? Most often what we end up doing is, God, what about this? What about this? What about this? What about this? You know, we have our lists. How come I'm not seeing results with this? Take a breath. Stop and listen to him. And if you don't know how, ask him. I don't know how to do this. God will give you wisdom. He'll give you understanding. He may even get some people around you who will help. You won't listen like them, but you will listen to him. All right, Heather, we're gonna move on a little. So, I love this quote. This is from a guy named John Fenn who runs a ministry called Church Without Walls International. And he says this, the gospel started as a relationship in Israel when God came to man. Then it went to Greece and became a philosophy. Then to Rome and became a religion. Then to Europe and became a tradition. And then to USA, I put in North America just so we'll all feel better, to become an enterprise. As it was in the beginning, so it must be now. I am moving in relationship, says Jesus. Jesus is returning the Christian faith to its roots, relationship-based faith expressed through strong relationships founded in family. God puts us in family. Being a follower of Jesus is living every aspect of our lives to hear his calling, leading, and voice to make us more like Jesus. Discipleship is just part of the process that God uses to bring his kingdom into our current lives and his created and redeemed world. For such a time as this. To follow Jesus is to walk with him in every part of life, listening for his voice, leaning into his leading, and becoming more like him along the way. So as you reflect on that this week, ask, what is Jesus showing me about life with him? How is he using everyday moments in relationships to speak? Listen to him. That is the challenge. And I know I keep saying that, but I also know that when people say, listen to God, and you say, I hear from God, then people say, you're hearing voices? Seriously? Maybe not in this church, but I tell you what, in other churches I've been asked, do you need to go to the hospital? Are you hearing voices? His sheep will know his voice. Jesus makes it very clear that he speaks, and he is still speaking. We're in the new year. We're gonna do a seminar after church, like Heather's seminar on worship. We're gonna do one about how to learn how to hear God's voice, and I think that's really important. Well, I'm gonna talk a little bit about it maybe this Sunday or next. But we need to learn to listen to him. Let me throw this out. The kingdom of God, Jesus often stated, the kingdom of God is like. You know, it's one of his favorite things to bring up. And he would say, the kingdom of God is like, and he would use these word pictures and paint, this is what the kingdom of God is like. He would say things like, the kingdom of God is at hand, he says in Mark 1, chapter 14. He says, the kingdom of God is like a man who scattered seed on the ground in Mark 4. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, it says in Luke 13. In that same passage, he goes on to say the kingdom of God is like a pearl. It's like a treasure hidden in a field. It's like a net thrown down for fishing. It's like yeast in the dough. It's like a master who goes out on a trip. It's like a wedding. I want to suggest a very different picture this morning. The kingdom of God, it's like a wagon wheel, right? No, people are leaving already. No. Actually, they're going to get their kids, which tells me we've only got about 15 minutes or less. More accurately, not the kingdom of God, but the discipleship journey that I want to talk about this morning, I'm going to use the analogy of a wagon wheel. Most discipleship processes tend to be linear. You know, they one thing after another, checkbox after checkbox. We go through this, then we're onto this. You know, all sorts of different churches have different, you know, views of discipleship process. You know, what base are you on? What class are you in? Where, you know, have you graduated? Whatever. And I think that that's good. I think that's that's how we think. That makes sense, but much of life doesn't go that way. You know, we tend to go round and round. You know, we tend to go upside down and sideways and left, straight, and center. I mean, it is not a straight journey. It looks more like a wild, crazy roller coaster than it does, you know, a straight line path. And why I like this idea, and it's not original to me, but I couldn't find it anywhere else either, if that makes sense. But often, I think this is what we end up doing. Just going round and round. We take the wagon wheel, we put it on its side, and it turns into a merry-go-round. And it just goes round and round and round. And that's sometimes what life feels like. That's sometimes what church feels like. We're just spinning our wheels. Or the other fun thing is, we like to set it up and turn it into a giant Ferris wheel. You know, that goes round and round too. And that's not what it's supposed to be. So this is really heavy. So I'm going to put this down. But I'm just going to challenge you a little before we wind up this morning, and then we'll come back to this, because honestly there is so much more here. The goal of discipleship, the goal of growing in our relationship with Jesus, is to become like Jesus. He is the very center of the wheel. The goal of discipleship for a follower of Jesus is to be more like Jesus, to see Christ formed in us. Paul wrote it this way in Galatians 4, 19 and 20. He says, "Oh, my dear children, I feel as I'm going through the labor pains for you again, and they will continue until Christ is fully developed in your lives." Wow. That's more than anything, that's what he desired. And he says, it's like having a baby. And this isn't some weird transgender thing Paul's talking about. This is, no, men can't have babies. I know, I can't believe I said that. but that's not what Paul's talking about, birthing something more in our lives spiritually. that Christ would be formed in us. But this picture, this metaphor of birth is it's new birth, this being born again, this relationship. He says, I want Christ fully formed in you. I want that to come alive. I wish I were with you right now so I could change my tone. Interesting, he's writing with tone, no emoji. But he's writing with tone. He said, but at this distance, I don't know how else to help you. So he's using this word picture of birthing. Like, that's the tone. That's like, that's a little much, Paul. But he's saying, this is what I want you to see. This is because Jesus is the hub. Jesus is the center. The driving force of a life of a disciple. He is that connection point. He gives us purpose and meaning. So when we're on this wheel, it's not just decoration. It's not just a merry-go-round. It's not just a giant circus wheel. Jesus is the very center. So this is the nice little picture I came up with, and it's impossibly hard to read. But it looked really good on my computer. But Jesus is in the center. Yeah, that's the best part. And then there's all these little spokes off it. And we're not going to be able to get totally into that this morning. But I wanted you to catch this part. Jesus has got to be the center of our lives. Because otherwise, all the other spokes, all the other pieces, they have no connection. They have no power. You know, and I know we could, you know, for those who are into cars and stuff, we could geek out on posi traction and all the other stuff, you know, of, you know, limited slip differential and everything else going from the axle. And am I doing anything right, Eddie? Am I mentioning any real parts? So, yeah, okay. Thanks. yeah, there's a lot of stuff we could go on about wheels and power, but Jesus is, he is our source of power. Everything flows from him. He is the firstborn of all of this new creation, and he is what needs to be present in our lives. And out of that flows all the other disciplines of our life. All the other actions of our life. And I don't want to name every single spoke because there's tons of them. We are going to go through some next week, but there is tons. There's way more than I could list here. But what's important is what is striking the ground in your life right now. What is God highlighting right now? What is touching ground? In God saying, let's talk about this. Let's deal with this. What's often interesting when you think about a wheel or a spoke, what touches ground in one place has effect on the opposite. And the same thing in our spiritual disciplines. You know, we may think we're dealing with fasting, but God's saying, but I'm also going to talk to you about fellowship. Fasting may bring you into isolation, but I also want to deal with the fact that you're going to be missing fellowship and you're also going to be missing food. And so he hits two things kind of at once. But what is touching ground is what God is speaking into our lives about. This morning, we came forward, many, and many, God came forward to you. What was he touching ground in your life? What are the spiritual disciplines? For some, joining up in a group would be a good step. Some of you need to be in relationship with others and really learn what the kingdom of God is like. Some of you have been in every kind of group imaginable, and it's actually time for you to move on into other areas of ministry. We'll talk about that next week. Some of us right now don't need to be in a small group because we've got some hurts and some wounds in us that if we bring that into a small group, we're going to make it all about our stuff. We need to get into some healing. We need to get into a place where some people can love on us and help us get things rightly connected to Jesus. I don't know where you're at in the discipleship journey, and nor is my desire to fit everybody into a certain wheel. But to say, what is God saying to you? Listen to him. How has he been speaking to you this morning? It's all about Jesus. He is more than able. His spirit is more than able to speak to you. So to wrap up just this week, I want to talk about what are some ways that we learn to listen to the confirmation of his word. What are, you know, we talked about the spokes. We'll get to more of the spokes next week. But how do we know we're hearing from God? This isn't exhaustive. This isn't the answer, but this is just one tool to help you hear if you're hearing from God. Number one, the command of Scripture. God's never going to say anything that contradicts his word. But he says things in his word that sometimes we don't understand, and we often need help. Like, this is really what the word says. The enemy also knows Scripture really well. He loves to twist it. So just saying I've got chapter and verse is not enough. But it is clear he will never contradict his word. Number two, the compelling of the Holy Spirit. It is that sense. It is the presence of God saying, wow. And by compelling, it's not just what we feel in our hearts. He sometimes sets us up. And we see the same thing again and again and again. He does something miraculous. He compels us to hear and to know where we need to be. Number three, the council of the saints, the church. I think I'm hearing this from God. We share that with our church, and people go, yeah, that sounds like God. Or they go, let's ask God. It's good. He puts us in families because we need that life around us. We need people to be praying for us. We need people to be helping us. Number four, common sense. Just honestly, sometimes just stop. I think I'm hearing from God. Does that sound reasonable? I'm not saying everything's reasonable, because faith supersedes reason, but faith is not unreasonable. There is some things where we go, God's silent on that. Well, yeah, he already gave a clear answer. Common sense. Don't do that. That's dumb. Should I jump off this building? Do I have to tell you? You know, common sense. Do you have a parachute? You have a rope. Number five, circumstantial signs, providence, where God just, again, he sets you up. You know, through the Holy Spirit, through situations, he lets you know. And just two more that I love this. This is a text from Andrew Bryce that he sent me. He said, Joel, I really appreciate it. We did this in men's breakfast one morning. Andrew said, I want to add these two, Joel. The cup of communion, the sacrament. Yeah, God incredibly speaks through communion. I think that's so good. And also the consolation of solitude, of getting alone to hear from him. We're going to next week talk about these spokes, but catch the desire of the Father to speak to us. The Mount of Transfiguration, I love it. This is my son whom I love. Listen to him. What is God saying to you? What is God saying to you? Learn to hear him. Father, I know you are more than able to communicate your truth. You do it all the time. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see what you are doing in our very lives, in the lives of our spouse, of our friends, of our children, of our moms and dads. But may we hear you clearly. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to give you guys freedom to get a potato and to just see some of the different groups and maybe sign up. Maybe some of you need to say, you know what? I need to pray about leading a group or being involved in ministries. There's way more. We'll talk more about that next week. But I am so thankful we got to start to get the wheel rolling. And let's see where God leads us tomorrow. God bless. And you guys have a wonderful Sabbath.